So we're in Judges chapter 3, featuring a character that I have to say I'd never really heard of until Graham asked me to speak about him, Othniel. Just to put us in the picture slightly, last week we were talking about this idea of a cycle of failure and how we as disciples are in the same situation. And it's easy to look back at the people of Israel who, just before verse 7, had settled into the land and started mingling with the other people and following other gods. It's easy to look back and think, well, they're a bit silly, weren't they? They just didn't learn from their mistakes. And this is the story throughout Judges. It's this cycle of failure. So the people will do something wrong. They'll get in trouble. God will rescue them. He'll send someone to rescue them. And they are okay for a bit, and they'll go back into trouble again. But are we like that today? It's interesting that 30% of prisoners in our prisons re-offend within the first year of being released. But what about us as a nation or the world that we live in? People think of modern history as starting about 200 years ago, and I don't know if you can cast your minds back that far, but about 200 years ago, a French man tried to invade Russia. It went terribly wrong. In the last century, some other crazy person tried to do the same thing. It ended up the same way. More recently, people have tried to invade Afghanistan without much fun and success. But even in our country, in our nation, we make the same mistakes. For example, we always go into the Eurovision Song Contest thinking we stand a chance of winning it, but we never do. I found a really good quote this week, and it's this: the Bible is the story of our lives, only with different names. So look at the passage, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. So here they are, back in trouble again. Just so you know, Baal was like a sort of Middle Eastern god. It literally means one you serve. And they were serving this god. And Asherah was more of a Canaanite thing. It was a kind of tree worship idea. But these were gods of superstition. And if you want to make a soup of superstition, there are four key ingredients you need. You need ignorance, fear — that's fear of the unknown especially — belief in chance, and dark powers out there to get you. So the people of Israel were there. They'd forgotten about God. They had the ignorance. Or perhaps they'd chosen to ignore God, because ignorance works both ways, isn't it? But they were afraid, and sometimes we forget that in those days, there was a very real fear. Because today, if we have trouble with our crop, sometimes we don't even find out, because the supermarkets buy things from other countries. We've always got our pot noodles and tin soup and things. But in those days, if your crops failed, that was it. You had it. There was no plan B. So you can understand the fear. Chance? Well, I'm not so sure about that. They were, after all, in the promised land, having got there from Egypt. You thought they would have thought about that one a bit more. What about dark powers? It's interesting that God, our God that we love, can become a dark power if we forget who he really is. If you think of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the third servant criticizes his master and says, "You're a hard master, one who reaps where he has not sown." He has this image of God, God being the master, of being someone far off, because God's been away and he's forgotten what he's like. And to him, God is this dark power. His master is this dark power. And the people have got like that. But what about us today? Superstition. Well, there's certainly ignorance. I think a lot of people don't know what we believe. And perhaps some people in church as well. Fear. We seem to live in a world where we're in denial about everything, about suffering, about death. We try and put it to one side. Chance? Well, we seem to go two ways on this. Either we're online gambling, or we're going the other way. We're risk averse. We're health and safety mad. And like the servant in Matthew 25, sometimes I feel that God today, for many people, is far away because they don't know what he's really like. They've forgotten. And what's weird is a lot of atheists think that we are superstitious. It shouldn't be like that. Here's a quote from a website called WikiHow. Now, WikiHow is not a Christian website. It's there just to give advice. And there was advice to people who felt they were too superstitious. And it says this. If you believe that there is goodness and love everywhere you turn, you would not need superstitions to give your life meaning. I'll read that again. If you believe there is goodness and love everywhere, you would not need superstitions to give your life meaning. So if only we trusted in the Good Shepherd. So for ignorance, may I suggest to me as well, let's get to know the Bible and find out what we believe. So we're not in ignorance. We're not at risk of being superstitious. And let's be ready to have an explanation of our faith. If you're a Christian, it doesn't mean you're, let's say you're never afraid of anything, because life can bring you things that are very, very scary. But God will reduce our fear. Perfect love casts out fear. A writer called Emerson said, All I have seen teaches me to trust my Creator for all I have not seen. What about chance? God has a plan. This is how we're different from people who don't believe in God. And like the servant in Matthew 25, we mustn't let God become distant. We must be with him every day, reading God's word, talking to him in constant communication, so he doesn't become a dark power, but he stays as the Good Shepherd. In verse 8 it says, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. This guy came from a long way away to cause them problems. I don't know if you've ever had that experience yourself. You feel that someone's gone a long way out of their way just to make your life a misery. And today, we think of people like people who ring up from the other side of the world to try and con us. Or whatever, if you see nature programs, you find these sharks that swim all the way around the world so they can eat a seal. 8 years is a long time for the people of Israel to be occupied. I read this. The occupation was a hard one and a long one too, lasting 8 years. 8 years of planting a field and having other men eat the bread. 8 years of tending vines and others drinking the wine. 8 years of watching sons toil for their masters. 8 years of standing by helplessly as daughters are hauled off for the amusement of bored soldiers. You see, the Bible is the story of our lives, only with different names. It took them 8 years to even think of crying out to God. And we're the same sometimes. If problems come our way, we try everything to do it in our own strength rather than actually turning to God. Verse 9 says this, but when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 10, came on him, so he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. Now, we don't know a lot about Othniel, but we know a couple of things. His name means God's lion. We also know he had a smart wife. If you look in chapter 1, it mentions this wife who actually got, it's almost like a fairy tale, she inherited a load of land as a reward for Othniel's bravery. And she went back and asked her dad for some water to water the land. So she was somebody who obviously knew how to run estates and grow things. It says, the Spirit of the Lord rushed on upon him, that's Othniel, God wants to anoint us. It's interesting in Judges, the Spirit falls upon judges in different ways. The Spirit came upon Othniel, and the Spirit came upon Jephthah later on. With Gideon, it clothed itself with him. With Samson, we read of later on, it rushed upon him. How does the Holy Spirit fall on us? Do we think of putting bits of the Holy Spirit on, or do we cry out to God to fill us, to pour out his Spirit upon us? It's interesting, when I found out that Othniel was called God's Lion, I was just wondering, we live in a time where we just get given names, Dave, Pete, Barry, John. But what if we could choose our own names? It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? You probably know that in Native American culture, that when their children are born, they're given a name, a standard name. And then when they're of age, they can choose a name for themselves. Here's some examples. White Owl, Spring Frog. He is speaking. That'd be good for me and Graham, wouldn't it? Squirrel, Canoe, Woolly Head, Standing Turkey. I wonder if you could choose a name for yourself, what would it be? Would it be something that you'd aspire to? Something you'd want to be? Or would it be a name that would reflect the harsh realities of life as it really is? You see, the judges in the book of Judges varied an awful lot. We start with Othniel, who's this ideal person who does what he's supposed to do and goes off and wins the battle. And then by the end of Judges, you've got characters like Samson, who's very different. Othniel married a good, decent, wise woman. Well, we know what Samson was like, rather. Othniel worked together with people. Samson, a loner. But as we see the judges in all their flawed humanity and all the various people, we become more aware of God's constant faithfulness. The judges change. The judges are a bit of a hodgepodge of people. But it's the same God, the same constant God. But more than that, the God we read about in the story of the prodigal son is a God who comes running towards his son. So the God in Judges is faithful and constant. And the God we read about in the story is more than that. He's loving and actually running towards us. Verse 11, so the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. And they go back into this cycle, falling away, coming back, which is the story throughout the book of Judges. And as we said before, the Bible tells the story of our lives, only it uses different names. People of Israel, 3,000 years ago, aren't really so different from us now. They didn't learn from their mistakes. They were afraid of what the season would bring, of what the day would bring. So they turned to superstition rather than to the loving God who brought them out of captivity. It's important to remember that we live in a time of fear, just like that. People are afraid. Okay, so we've got the basics in life, but people always want more and always feel they've failed if they haven't got it. And if we're going to be like Othniel, we need to be anointed with God's Spirit. We need the Spirit to rush in on us. We need to live free of ignorance, free from fear, free from chance, free from dark powers, holding out to people a loving God who runs towards us like the God in the parable. A God who wants to rescue us, who wants to care for us, who wants to fill our lives with goodness and mercy and love. So just some questions. Am I afraid of what life will serve up for me today? Or do I believe that God is a good shepherd whose love and mercy surrounds me everywhere I go? Am I surrounded by problems and enemies? Am I still trying to sort out my life without asking God for help? What name would I give myself? What name would God give me? Am I putting bits of the Holy Spirit on me? Or am I ready to pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit on me? And what would happen if we all prayed that prayer? And most of all, when I have problems, is the God that I turn to one who's far off? Is he cold? Or is he like the father in the prodigal son story? Is he a God and a father who's running towards me with his arms outstretched?